The following is a For Vengeance Media production.
The sport we love is undergoing a shift.
What a beauty!
Borders are breaking down. Some might say disappearing.
Huge goal.
And the freedom to choose is gaining momentum.
J-P-H-L
Through it all, players are better than ever at all levels.
Oh!
From youth hockey to the best junior leagues and the highest level, the game is reaching new heights.
Score!
Presented by For Vengeance Media, this is Game Changers, the home of hockey. On Silent Ice TV.
Well, here it is, the final episode of the season for Game Changers is upon us, and a bit of an end of the era as we go out, Brandon. You kind of announced it on the Saints broadcast when we were in Okotoks that was going to be your final broadcast behind the mic. But it's also you're moving on to bigger and family things as far as not being involved with For Vengeance directly. Still going to be involved in our production, but big things are on the horizon for you as we end this season. So it's kind of fitting.
Yeah, it's bittersweet for sure. I mean, it's been a wild ride over the last six seasons, coming in with not much and building up a broadcast with the Saints and a brand with For Vengeance as well. Obviously, Dan, Lindsay, LeKelt, Mark Kronowit, I owe a lot to for giving me the chance to do it. Yourself as well, Dean. We'll get more into the For Vengeance media team later on. But without your support and you by my side this year, we wouldn't have been able to do any of it to the level that we did. Moving on to the family business, kind of something that was probably always going to come down the pipe, just maybe happen a little bit more quicker than I think everybody thought, including me. But super excited to get going with my family business and still going to be around the rink, still going to be part of the production, whether it's a Saints home game or a JPHL championship. So I'm not leaving. You're not going to not see me. I'll be around. But yeah, looking forward to the future for sure. And thank you as well, my friend, for everything. It's been a heck of a ride.
Yeah, it's wild to think that it's been less than a year since I came on full time, and the amount that we accomplished in that time frame was quite fun to build something, as you said, from kind of from the ground up, including this show that provided some entertainment during our intermissions and different things as well. So it's been fun, and as you said, we'll get more into these things as we get to our top five stories in hockey. We're going to do something different. We're going to do our top five stories in hockey like we do every week, and then we're going to take a look back at the year that was in the hockey world that we are certainly involved in. And when we talk about top five stories in hockey, I mean, it's the playoffs right now. It is the most ridiculous time, the best time of the year. And strange things happen, like goalie woes for two teams that I thought had just rock-solid goaltending. I mean, I've been a Thatcher Demko fan for a long time, going back to his college days. Now it sounds like he is week to week. That's terrible news for the Canucks. And what do you say about Connor Hellebuck? He'll win the Vezina, and he's been beaten 11 times in two games by the Avalanche. Strange things are afoot at the Circle K when it comes to the playoffs right now, Brandon. And these are two of the best goaltenders that are obviously not having the playoffs they wanted.
Yeah, fantastic goalies, first and foremost. And let's start with Connor Hellebuck, a guy that had a heck of a regular season, an outstanding regular season, and a guy that would be in our Conn Smythe conversation in a few moments, but I don't think is now. Did he get some bad bounces in game one and two? Yes. But does your goalie need to make a couple more stops in the playoffs? I would say yes. And I will also take that to the Canucks side as well. Demko, a fantastic game one. But you need Casey DeSmith to make a couple more saves in game two and maybe give your team a little bit more of a chance to win. Nashville in game two, Dino, they blocked 32 shots towards UC Saros. Does Winnipeg, does Vancouver now look to block more shots like Nashville to eliminate those chances on net? I'm not sure, but you know as well as I do, if you have a good goalie, You can steal a game. You can steal a series. You can almost steal a cup these days. You know, you go back to the 06 run and Dwayne Rolston. If he didn't get hurt, what would have happened? Andre Vasilevsky a couple years in a row. Fantastic. We saw Aiden Hill come out of nowhere last year and rise to the occasion and take them all the way to the cup final. So a goalie position is absolutely critical. And for these two teams right now, they're in tough. I'd like to think Connor will find his game. And hopefully for the Canucks, Demko gets healthy sooner rather than later.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, the Jets, the whole strength was defense, defense, defense. And the Avs are playing to their strength. They're scoring goals 11 times behind Connor Hellebuyck. You know, the Jets can't win this series in any kind of a shootout. So if Hellebuyck doesn't find that groove again, the Jets are dead in the water, in my opinion. Now, Demko and the Canucks and DeSmith, there is a little bit of history when you look at the National Hockey League of backups stepping in. You mentioned 06. Well, Dwayne Rolison was going to be a Conn Smythe contender. UC Markkanen almost became a Conn Smythe contender just with what he did in the finals. The Flyers before that with the backups. You mentioned the Vegas Golden Knights. A little bit of a history with that. I still think this is totally advantage Colorado, advantage Nashville in those situations. If you get the best goalie like the Vezina candidate off his game, or the other goalie is weak to week in that series, it's going to be really tough for either of those teams, in my opinion, to roar back in that series. But we will see as those series were both, as we're recording this, tied at one. Speaking of roaring, go ahead.
I just want to mention that the Jets real quick. And yeah, just the atmosphere in that building, unbelievable. I've had the pleasure of going to a Canucks playoff game and an Oilers playoff game, but what the Jets do, I've never been there for a game, unbelievable. And then you look at what Pat McAfee has just done for the NHL, you know, a guy that left football probably too early and in everybody's minds, what the hell are you doing going to start a podcast? You know, you're not going to make any money, you're not going to make it. Fast forward, he's probably making more money now than he did as a kicker for the Colts. He's on ESPN. But what he's done for the game of hockey with his Hockey is Awesome segment has been remarkable to grow the game in America. And now what he's done for Winnipeg, too. He didn't even know where Winnipeg was, for God's sakes, 48 hours ago. Now he does. I just think it's so good to see, you know, a northern town who doesn't get a lot of attention in Winnipeg getting on the national stage in America because of him, and deservingly so, because they do a heck of a job to bring the atmosphere there. I just wanted to mention that because it's unbelievable.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, Winnipeg needs all the help they can get. I mean, Winnipeg is on every player's list of most places they don't want to go. And by the way, Edmonton is on those lists as well, unfortunately. I think those lists are crazy because, you know, we had this conversation in the office today about how there are so many great places in every city to live. But that's a huge boost for Winnipeg that other players or other people might say, hey, I'm going to check that out. Now they just need to win when they have the whiteout. That's the only problem that Winnipeg has had, is they have the whiteout and they're wearing dark jerseys. The NHL needs to go back to white in the playoffs. Love that the JPHL did that. Also love the Hockey Grand Prix. This past weekend, you and I have been able to see all these different events that Silent Ice Sports and Entertainment puts on. The first spring hockey event at the beautiful Silent Ice Center. We had the video board going and the kids loved it. The hockey was great. They had four-time Stanley Cup champion Craig McTavish on the bench for one of the games. And just another example of great minds going to work with a cool event. And this is only the first year of this event, which will grow in its popularity and its capacity. But the reviews from the first one were in, and people seem to really enjoy themselves.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you could put that building to its full value, it's going to impress people, you know. And for these kids to come in at this age, a younger age, and get to see the bright lights, the dressing rooms, the facility, the atmosphere, the awe of being out there on the ice. Then you add in the video board and the ring board and the sound system and all the toys that go with it. I mean, it's sealing the deal for them to come back to the tournament, try to play in the HSL, eventually the JPHL, and then maybe for one of the junior teams that Silent Ice operates in Seattle or Spruce Grove. So all around, it's like a recycling motion, right? You get the kid in the barn. You know, you showcase the barn, you put your toys together. Maybe he comes to the HSL, maybe he goes into the JPHL, and then you get a little bit of your return on investment there when they start selling tickets for your junior team. One way of looking at it, I guess. There's many ways to look at it, but what Four Vengeance has done in that building, what Silent Ice has done with that building, I think just offers all of these events and spring tournaments something that you can't find anywhere else. You know, you're not going to go to another spring tournament and get the video board and all this coverage. It's definitely a selling feature. And for these 2016 and 15 born athletes, you know, why wouldn't you come back? It's fantastic. You're not going to get a better experience, in my opinion, anywhere else.
Yeah, I love it. It was 8-year-olds that were on display, and they've got they've got the celebrations down to a T. And I love them catching themselves on the video board. It's just such a cool experience, and for the parents as well to be able to see that as well. You're right. You know, why would you not want to participate in an event that has that amenity and that sort of kind of wow factor that sort of goes along with it? Because certainly there was a big wow factor at that arena for the Hockey Grand Prix. Congratulations to Team Alberta. And congratulations to Jack Mulfeld and the Spruce Grove Saints. This is excellent news as we continue to see junior teams in the BCHL. We saw Sherwood Park announce a big signing the other day as well. And I love it that the Saints dipping into, I want to say, their own backyard, because the Island Wild or the Island HC are out in Vancouver Island, but as a league, it's their own backyard, because this is where the BCHL can affiliate from, and these are the players that they'll be signing. And I think whoever's coming to watch the Saints next year will be pleasantly surprised by the work ethic of this young man.
Yeah, great signing. Another great signing. I mean, the Saints have some more work to do on the hockey operations side to get the team up to snuff to compete in the BCHL next year and take on the likes of Penticton, Vernon Trail, or Salmon Arm. But this is a great step in the right direction. I mean, you take a kid here who played down south in the United States for a couple seasons and then decided to take his talents to the JPHL and the Island Hockey Club, which right there is a big win for the group. And then for Rob to recognize the talent, watched him a couple times, obviously, throughout his JPHL career this year in the U18 division, and then take a chance on him for next year. We'll probably see more of this now, Dino, as time goes along. I mean, we saw what Seattle's done with the likes of people coming through the process, if you will, from the HSL to the JPHL, the Saints in some cases, and then to Seattle. You got guys like Sam Popovich, Reed Schaefer, Koster Dunn, Scott Radslav, Bryce Pickford, Matt Rempe to an extent. So all those guys came through the process, and now to maybe see it be more, I guess, rewarding for the Saints organization as opposed to just Seattle, will be good to watch. And this is a great step in the right direction. Heck of a player, a big guy that can put pucks in the net, works his you-know-what off down low. I had the pleasure of watching him a couple times in the JPHL. This is one of many that's coming down the pipe for the Saints and some local guys as well. So things are trending in the right direction for the Saints hockey ops group. And you know what? I'd be amazed if they weren't competitive next year in a very hard league to play in.
Yeah, the BCHL is such a big step up, and it will be for Jack. I mean, I liked the fact that he was on a team that was so competitive, and they got better and better as the season went on. They were one goal away from advancing to the final. They took the eventual champions to overtime. In fact, they've taken the eventual champions to overtime in 5 straight playoff games. So this is a guy who's been in some tight games. You know he's got those competitive juices. You mentioned the size at 6'1", protects the puck really well. Not sure if he'll be that top gear offensive guy at the next level, but you just never know when a guy can click with another guy. He has the skills to put the puck in the net, and if he clicks with that right person, you just never know what kind of impact he will have. But looking forward, like I did with Ryan DeCook and Matthew Lessig, seeing those guys in the Saints this past year was a lot of fun, and I look forward to seeing more JPHL players making that jump like Mulfeld has done. All right, this next story, man, oh man, was this the greatest save ever? We'll get a look at it on video in a second, but just by even looking at these pictures, I mean, Sergei Bobrovsky, and we just last week talked about one of the greatest saves that we've seen, and we'll talk about it again in a second with Matt Davis, but this save, Brandon, where when you look at the greatest saves of all time, this has got to be in the top five, especially with when you factor in when it happened, playoffs, time of the game, against their rival, everything like that.
Yeah, home ice as well. And then Florida wins the game too, right? If they don't win the game, we're probably not talking about it to the highest extent we are right now. And Sergei Bobrovsky, he's dipped over the years, Dino. You know, he hasn't been himself. He maybe wasn't worth what he's getting paid. Last year, the year before, he kind of got back to that standard. This year, I think he's finally back at the standard that they signed him at, and they know he's the guy. And this is example A as to why he's paid that much and why he is the starter in Florida. If he doesn't make this save, the game obviously doesn't go to overtime, and you know who knows how it would have ended later on in the third period. But do you look at this in a bigger picture where not only is it the shift or the period or the game, but could this define the series? Could this define the playoff run for Florida? Time will tell. But Sergei's, he's dipped a bit. He's finally coming back. He's a hilarious guy, off the ice, as I've heard. I got one quick story about him. I forget he was telling me about it, but he showed up. I think he was still, I think he was in Florida, actually. And he showed up with a brand new Lamborghini the next day after signing a contract or something like that. And all of his teammates are like, what the heck, Sergei? Like, where'd you get a $250,000 car to appear out of nowhere? And I think he just went, signing present for me. Period. Just left it at that. Signing present for me. Walked into the rink and did his thing. But yeah, if he's getting back to the standard that we know he can play at, he'll be unbelievable. And this save could define the entire playoff run for Florida. Time will tell.
Yeah, no kidding. And the thing I look about this save, some people might say, oh, it was just luck that his hand was there. Yeah, sure, there is a certain degree of luck for your hand to be in the right position, but just the wherewithal for him with his back turned to be able to stretch out and get a piece of it, even the effort. I mean, Dominic Hasek won Hart Trophy and Vezina Trophies galore because of that second effort. Every goalie makes that effort and the second effort, but not every goalie goes all out. So I look at this and saying, yeah, man, I can't imagine his teammates seeing that and not wanting to run through a wall for him. So I'm guessing this is going to, like you said, define not just the playoffs, but that series a little bit. And maybe it leads into our final top five story of the week is the Conn Smythe prediction. I mean, can that save be something that vaults Bobrovsky? Well, right now you'd have to say he's got, if you, you know, it's silly to talk about leading contenders, but if the Panthers get anywhere to the final, and even if they lose and he still keeps it up, that save is something people are going to remember for Bobrovsky to be in the mix. But there's a lot of players out there that could have an impact depending on who gets there. Who is your favorite? You know, looking at a guy that's going to be able to get on the race and get to the final and also be able to put his team on the back, so to speak.
I'm going to go with a complete Jack Edwards homestyle pick here. And I'm going to go with Zach Hyman, Dino. I'm going to do
it. Nice.
A guy that missed an open net in his first shift of game one. That could have been awful. That could have ruined everything for him and the team. Instead, he comes back a couple shifts later. He puts a rebound in. He leads the Oilers to a massive game one win. Couple points for him. I mean, McDavid, what a job he did too. Five apples. But for Hyman to get a Hattie and open up the scoring in the way he did it after missing an open net moments before, I think is unbelievable. And for a guy who's coming into the playoffs, having by far and away the best season he's ever had. And I don't know if you saw the interview with him and Christine Simpson before game one, but he was so honest. He said, people said I wouldn't stick in junior. I did. People said I wouldn't make it to the NHL. I did. People said I wouldn't stick in the NHL. I did. And that was with Toronto in a market that's very tough to impress and play in. And then he came to Edmonton and here we are, you know, a career year, 50 plus goals, nearly 60. And then he keeps rolling in the playoffs. This is a guy who's having a season that, you know, he's probably flying by the seat of his pants and just enjoying the moment. And he should, he's deserving of all of it. But if he keeps playing well, like he did in the regular season, I know the playoffs are a bit of a different ball game. He could lead this team to a cup final. He could lead this team to a Stanley Cup. And I don't often love to go, oh yeah, Connor McDavid, he, you know, give the top dog the Conn Smythe, and he might deserve it just as much, or Draisaitl, or Stuart Skinner, or Darnell Nurse, or Bouchard. But I like a little bit of the unsung hero, the guy that wasn't supposed to be there. He got there through hard work. He's working his you-know-what off, and he's getting rewarded.
I think that's an excellent pick. I mean, the Conn Smythe Trophy winners, like, I mean, the first time the Oilers won it, it was Mark Messier. It wasn't always Wayne Gretzky that won the Conn Smythe. I mean, 87, it was Ron Hextall. 88, I'm pretty sure it was Gretzky, but it's not always the best player. Fernando Pisani might not have been the best. Well, definitely wasn't the best player. Chris Pronger was the best player on that Oiler team in 06, but Pisani was right there with his 13 goals as a Conn Smythe contender. So I love that pick on Zach Hyman, a guy who's obviously already off to a good start and is just riding the wave. The Oilers just have to finish the job and get there. And I'm going to maybe be the heel in with this pick. And I'm going to go Mark Stone as your Conn Smythe Trophy winner. I mean, that is the ultimate heel job. If Mark Stone, then people are really going to think the NHL is scripted. Guy misses all this time and comes back and wins it. But in all seriousness, I don't think Vegas is going to have just the juice to be able to get to the finals. So I'm going to go with somebody from the Eastern Conference. You went with somebody from the Western Conference. I'll go with the bread man, Mika Zibanejad, as being a guy who is going to deliver a cup to Broadway the way Mark Messier did it, maybe not with the guarantees. But as we said, there's so much time. There's so many storylines to debut and go on. And I don't think any of them. If Mark Stone was the Conn Smythe, that would make the most of the fans in the NHL, their heads explode. But as it's been talked about before, this is something that is not just the Vegas Golden Knights. It was the Tampa Bay Lightning. And it's something that the players and the PA and the league have to get together in the CBA and close that loophole. Until then, it's like an offer sheet. Everybody should be doing it and take advantage of making their team better. If you legitimately have an injury, take advantage of this and make your team better. But it makes for a great storyline because how many guys lost their minds and gals lost their minds when Mark Stone scored the first goal for Vegas the other day.
Well, how scripted is that, right? And I mean, the NHL's not scripted, unless you're trying to keep a team in the desert that doesn't belong there, which finally has been fixed. But yeah, I mean, for a guy, at the same time, though, he hasn't played a competitive game like that in almost a month, a month. And to be thrown into not a regular season game, but a playoff game is not easy. And then to score the goal, you know, icing on the cake, I guess. But he even said it. I mean, he's out of shape a little bit. He's not really inclined with his line mates. The chemistry is not quite back, so he's got some work to do, but I do think it's a competitive advantage. Tell me it's not. I mean,
yeah, of course
you go
is.
And yeah, you go and get a couple players that you have no business affording. I mean, the system's got to be rectified. It's got to be even, you know, and if it doesn't get rectified, then why aren't more teams going to try do it? And in the same breath, though, does Vegas do it because of the playoffs? Because if you look at the playoff race, would you have not wanted all the firepower in the lineup to try get a little ahead of the last team to make the playoffs in the Western Conference? I'd like to think so. So maybe he was actually injured. I don't know, man. You can go, you know, back and forth here on what the right reason is, what the wrong reason is. We had Kelly McCrimmon on the show on the first episode. We should have him back and ask him point blank. He's not going to give us the answers, but would you not want your top dog in the lineup to try push beyond the second wild card spot? And if not, you're taking a serious gamble. So maybe he actually was injured and it's a coincidence. I mean, it's tough to believe in coincidences, but you know, there's a couple sides to look at it. Interesting though, I mean, if he wins the Conn Smythe, people are going to be up in arms. It's going to be hilarious.
It'd be wild. And listen, I think I know Kelly McCrimmon well enough to know that he's not going to gamble with potentially missing the playoffs to add somebody for the playoffs that you might not make. You have to get there to be able to use those guys. I mean, that's a massive gamble to say, we're going to be able to fit Hurdle and Hanifin and Stone in if we get there. So I think that's crazy to gamble on that.
Yeah, you can't purposely be doing that, right?
No, I don't. I wouldn't think so. you know, guys do get hurt. And I'm not saying that Mark Stone is Wolverine and he can just like heal automatically, but, you know, I don't know.
So, sure. You have the President's Trophy wrapped up on March 1st. Okay, sure. Then we're looking at this more seriously, but they didn't, and they were nowhere near. So I don't know.
It's such a weird look, and everybody piles on, and then when he scores the first goal, so wild. So this is our top five stories in hockey right now. Goalie trouble for the Canucks and the Jets. Which team will be able to get through that? A hockey Grand Prix was a resounding success. So is the signing of Jack Mulfeld from Island HC to the Spruce Grove Saints. We debated what the Bobrovsky save could do, and is that the greatest save ever in our Conn Smythe trophy predictions. Now we're going to dive into our top five stories of the year, because we had a remarkable year packed into less than 12 months. I mean, we started in June together at Four Vengeance and built from there, but along the way, so many crazy things happened. And this one was the one of the wildest things that I think we kind of both experienced in that 24-hour period for you, you know, trying to figure out what was going on with the Fab Five teams. I mean, I doubt you'll ever experience anything like that. And I really like how you kind of put it when we were chatting before, a little bit like what happened with the Arizona situation recently.
Yeah, and that happened long after this happened. And it was interesting to see what Bill Armstrong had to go through. And I'm like, hey, it kind of seems like what Rob Skaruk had to go through when this happened. Granted, there was some other teams in our corner. There was four more where Arizona was a lone wolf. But I've experienced some, I guess, big moments or moments that required a lot of PR attention with my career with the Saints. And Tristan Martin scoring a goalie goal a couple of years ago in GP. I mean, that one was on SportsCenter and Sportsnet, and he was interviewed by everybody. That was a big moment. I mean, Luigi Benincasa pulling off the Michigan goal, and it was first becoming a thing, and it was super impressive. That one got all the headlines as well. But I probably received, you know, more texts, more emails, more phone calls, more PR questions on this than anything before. Whereas, you know, those other situations, we're celebrating something, right? It's happy. We're trying to promote our product. Whereas this was, you know, there was an agenda for sure, a little bit on what we could say and what we couldn't say. And that was merely a complete lawyer legal thing that we had to follow. At the end of the day, what the AJHL, in my opinion, did to the players is wrong. Not letting them play for not really an apparent reason was wrong. And then what BC did to step in, rectify the situation, get the players back on the ice, play a somewhat of a regular season, have a competitive playoff that's still going on right now. I mean, they swooped in there, the heroes, right? So this is an unprecedented situation. It will probably never happen again for a long time. To be one of the five PR guys at the forefront of it and, you know, fielding all the questions and such, it was an interesting experience. You know, it made me a better person at the end of the day dealing with all that, because now I know if a situation similar happens again, it's you got some tools in the toolbox, so to speak, how to deal with it. But in closing, I guess overall, I think it's a great move. It was going to happen at the end of the year regardless. It just happened a little earlier. In my mind, though, keeping more Canadian kids in Canada should be the headline. You're not having all those kids leaving to the USHL when they're 18 or 19 before they go to college at 20 or 21. You're now keeping the 17, 18, 19-year-olds, even 20-year-olds in some cases, in your program, and they're going directly to the NCAA. So I think it keeps more Canadian kids in Canada, in these two provinces. I don't think it hurts that of kids, or people were saying kids not making these teams because they're leaving anyway. So I think it's a good thing at the end of the day. Then you talk about the marketing, the media, the league as a whole, the events they have planned, and the expertise they have on the officiating side. Overall, it's going to be great for the players. But yeah, man, definitely a top five story of the year, number one on my list.
Yeah, it was awesome. I really enjoyed the transition. It's unfortunate the way it happened, but I kind of look at it as a blessing, is that we got to see some really great hockey down the stretch and into the playoffs and what it's going to be like next year. So weird the way it went down. But for anybody to say they were surprised, I don't think they're telling the whole truth, because this is not something that hadn't been talked about in years past and in different situations. So I think that's something that should be kind of put to bed, is the whole surprise that this took people by. So anyway, that for me was, it was crazy and wild. And in the end, I think the players, while they missed out on some hockey, both the five teams in the BCHL did a phenomenal job to get them back on the ice and into the playoffs. And this is a story that is continuing, because we're in one venue right now, and in the middle, the Saints will be moving into another venue next year. But to be part of putting together two venues was something that is also kind of unprecedented. Moving into one as we did this year, with all the bells and the whistles that we've been able to talk about at the Silent Ice Center, but also the planning that you guys have going on when it comes to where will the new home of the Saints will be.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, having the chance to contribute to the design, the setup of not one, but two, it's been incredibly rewarding. I mean, you talked about Silent Ice Center. We were involved in everything, you know, video board, production booth, laying out wiring, and all the back end stuff, or nerd stuff, if you will, nonetheless. But then seeing it come to fruition, Dino, you know, getting to use it for a couple Saints games, the JPHL winner and championships, a couple HSL events too. It was really satisfying to see that we did a good job and that we had the tools now to basically do, you know, almost everything we want to in that building if it's tasked to us. And then embarking on another journey with the Civic Center here in Spruce Grove, and going through the process with the city and the contractors, and, you know, laying out the wiring and building out booths and stuff in a building that'll be more heavily used at the major production level, I would say, every time there's a Saints game. So it's been extremely rewarding. You know, you said it, unprecedented, two buildings in the same year. It's been incredibly rewarding to see one work as well as we thought it did. And I could probably say the same thing for the other one, which is still scheduled to open up in January 2025, so just under a year away. And that'll pave the way for a legacy in Spruce Grove for a very long time, you know, another 20-some years for sure for the team. But yeah, like you said, something that doesn't happen every year. And I like to think at the end of the day, we did a good job, and it showed by the products you're able to produce from the one venue, and in the future, the other one as well.
Yeah, and, you know, getting into that is the coverage that we were able to provide at the Silent Ice Center in particular. You know, we were able to broadcast a few Saints games from there. That was kind of cool. A Concordia game was held there. But to be able to get in for the championship coverage, whether it was our winter championship coverage, where we blew the doors off on the final Sunday of those gold medal games, or the playoffs, where all 3 days received that top-notch coverage, in addition to our 600 regular season games that we broadcast, the playoffs and that winter and spring playoff championship was just at another level that there's just no other youth league experience that can come close to that. And it's an extremely proud feeling that we can have to be a part of that, and the memories that we were able to create for those kids and their families.
Yeah, completely incredible. And just goes back to the Grand Prix even, same example, different event, I guess, where we're able to come in and see all the bells and whistles and kind of fall in love with the building and the league and everything that everybody's doing to make these kids a better athlete and develop them to the next level. And yeah, it's extremely rewarding to see it all come together and, you know, get all the compliments afterwards, because there is a lot of hard work that goes into these things. And, you know, one small tech error, one small broadcasting error magnifies it at the end of the day. And we were able to overcome those. And yeah, it's extremely, you know, fulfilling feeling, I guess, to see it all come together and nail it. You know, at the end of the day, it was awesome, pal. Lots of fun.
I totally agree. I just think it was so neat to see the different storylines and, you know, particularly in that championship where some of those kids were playing their final games and, You know, the ability to get to know these players over the last 2 years and to be able to use that knowledge and the emotion that these players were showing just made the broadcast so much better. And that we've been lucky to be, you know, around these players so much. We get to know them and we get to know their parents and we get to know their stories. And just, you know, seeing all of that come out in that final weekend and that final day in particular was such a cool thing that, you know, I think it'll be, you know, no matter what we end up doing throughout the kind of the next few years, that first one, that first year, that first championship will always be one to remember. It might be hard to top how much we put into it, especially that it was the first one. And speaking of hard to top, I mean, what a year for Saints alumni and the two guys that were looking at the pitchers, a terrific save from Davis and Matt Rempe, what he did. I mean, for the Saints organization, when these things happen, that must be just as exciting as almost winning on the ice.
Yeah, it's an honor, really. You know, I've done, I guess, as this comes to a close, 400 plus junior games for the Saints on the radio and streaming. But what makes the experience really cool is the friendships you make with these players. You know, I'm not the guy that says if you're playing, I'm not the guy that says if you're playing on the power play or whatever. I'm just there to make you look better or, you know, be a small part in your journey. And at the end of the day, for the most part, I've had great relationships with all the players throughout the years. Two guys that are on the screen right now, I mean, Matt Rempe, a brief stint in Spruce Grove, a year and a half, a little bit during the COVID year as well, before going to the Western League in Seattle. But then to witness his NHL debut this year with the Rangers at MetLife Stadium, a guy that's never done that before, making his NHL debut in an outdoor game. And, you know, that record will probably stay with him for a while because that's a very rare thing to happen. Seeing him take the NHL by storm, you know, spitting chiclets, everything with his fighting, his hard-nosed play early in his first couple games. And now to watch him score in the Stanley Cup playoffs, you know, it's unbelievable. To see his journey from a guy that was still figuring out how to use his own body. He was 6'6" and, you know, not much muscle, and he got that underneath of him, and he's an incredible hockey player. I wish him, obviously, the best of luck here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I do have Oilers-Rangers in the final. I don't know if we're doing predictions, but that would be my final prediction. And then Matt Davis, you know, he talked about the save, a former goalie, two Saints. He made those saves here against Sherwood Park, against Brooks. He led us to two league finals. Unfortunately, we didn't win them, but he was a big reason why we were even there. This remarkable save, I mean, we got to see it all together, basically, in Okotoks, and we were covering game three of that series. He then progresses on to Denver. He didn't play. He was injured. He got back. He earned the starting role. And then to see him replicate a save he made at this level on the national championship scale, unbelievable. Winning the national championship. I saw he was honored at the Denver Nuggets game the other night. You know, I'd be hard-pressed to think the Avs won't do something when they get back there when the series shifts down to Colorado. But, yeah, two guys and examples of tons that I've been lucky enough to know and be friends with and was a small part of their hockey journey, and just to see him be successful at not even the next level, but the level beyond that is truly rewarding for sure. And a big story for sure of the season.
Yeah, that was that night where Denver won it was so cool and bittersweet for us because the Saints season ended, but they were able to celebrate the success of a former Saint. It was neat to be a part of watching that and seeing all the Saints fans that were down there celebrating. But yeah, what a season for a couple of former Saints and so many more great stories to celebrate and share as the years go on. And it'll be the Four Vengeance Media team that will be providing those stories. The official producer of the Spruce Grove Saints, the JPHL, Hockey Super League, the Challenge Cup, Hockey Grand Prix, which we did, and so much more. Different events that they will and we will be doing over the time. It'll be different leadership, obviously. You'll be around, but it's going to be a little bit of a changing of the guard, so to speak. But that doesn't mean the production and the value and the level of production is going to slip and that you won't be around leading the charge. But to do what we did in such a short time was pretty fun, pretty impressive, and makes you wonder what else can be accomplished.
Yeah, it was. It was incredible. You know, and what an outstanding job. Yourself, Jeremy, And the amount of freelancers that we've had over the season, dedication, hard work, I mean, all those things. You don't have everybody in the stable pulling on the same rope, so to speak. All the accomplishments you just mentioned, they don't happen. So definitely a shout out to everybody. The commitment, the hours, you know, it's not easy. It's extremely rewarding when it's done. Dan and Lindsay for entrusting in us and giving us the financial means to go out and do things and procure gear and get those things fired up and working and, I guess, building into our show and then using it for the show and then telling stories during the show. You know, it's a lot of gratitude for sure. And there's a lot of people that make it possible, the freelancers, the game day personnel. I can't thank everybody enough for everything they've done. Completely incredible for the Saints, the JPHL, HSL, Challenge Cup, and the list kind of goes on from there. Like you said, though, Dino, I'll be back, not in the same capacity, more as a behind-the-scenes director, no more on the air. That time has come to a close. But incredible, like you said, in a short amount of time, what we're able to do with the right people, the right technology, putting it all together, definitely deserves a pat on the back for everybody, starting with you. So, you know, well done, my friend. And, you know, this isn't the end. It's maybe a flipping of to chapter two or three, but plenty more good things to come out of For Vengeance and out of all those properties that we cover.
Yeah, incredible amount of you know, work went into it from the very top, as you mentioned, from Dan and Lindsay through Steven Gertzen and right down through all the properties that, you know, just the first week that we were there and amassing the different amount of kits and things like that and the opportunities that we were able to give other young broadcasters and young camera people and things like that. That was kind of the cool thing for me, was seeing some of the young kids that we worked with really blossom and really take that step forward. Or, you know, the fact that we were able to give some of our camera operators training from a guy who's worked during the Olympics. We had Gene Principe and Dustin Nielsen and Peter Labardius out to our games to do the Winter Championship. I mean, the fact that we were able to further and help some other careers along the way, as well as telling these great stories, was something that I really found neat and, you know, kind of a neat challenge that I look forward to is, you know, how can we develop? And when you're not just talking about former Saints, but when a guy gets to the NHL level, he's just a former For Vengeance broadcaster, right? Who knows when that might be? And that's a real feather, I think, in the cap of For Vengeance too, is not just developing like the whole concept. The JPHL develops players and referees, timekeepers, and we develop broadcasters, they develop players, all that stuff. It's all about furthering the craft and developing good people.
Yeah, 100%. I think the biggest thing that stuck with me that you said on the show this year was broadcasting school is broadcasting school, for sure. But where these people develop is through production companies like ours. And I think we've done a great job in doing that. And I think it's just going to continue.
Indeed. All right. The last show, we're going to go with the last event, and it's 8-year-olds, dude. I mean, I love the kids in the Silent Ice Center over the weekend in the Hockey Grand Prix. Another one this coming weekend. You can catch the games on Silent Ice TV. It'll be the 2015s, and then there'll be a few more sprinkled in right up until June. But man, it's been amazing this working with you. I can't wait to continue doing that. But this show has been a lot of fun. And this whole year has been an absolute blast, Brandon. So thank you for bringing me along for the ride. And I'll give you the final word on Game Changers here as we say goodbye.
Well, I appreciate it, Dino. And thank you to you as well. Again, thanks to Dan, Linz, and everybody that made this possible. It's been a heck of a ride. This company progresses like no other. Good things are still coming. We don't even know what tomorrow holds. And for For Vengeance, the standard will not dip. It'll increase, especially with a new Saints building that hopefully I'll have some say in when it comes to production and how the in-game works. But I'd just like to thank everybody one last time for listening, for watching, taking the time out of your day to look at something that we've done, and obviously to the leagues as well, letting us tell the stories of the Saints players, the minor hockey players, and the JPHL and HSL. It's been incredible. It's been incredible working with you, Dino. And what a heck of a first season, my friend, on Game Changers. Great things are coming. Control what you can control. Do the best you can. Start simple. Get fancy later.
M2K Hockey going up against the Saints Pro Hockey Academy. These two teams have had pretty similar showings actually so far during this stretch. Held on the right side, cutting across Elias with some speed, moving down the wing, right side, shooting, and he scores! Elias opens the scoring. And here's a chance the other way. Barrich, 2-on-0. Barrich shooting as it creeps over and he scores! A nice little goal there as the Saints Pro Hockey Academy get caught all on one side of the neutral zone, which forces a turnover, and Lucas Barrich makes it a 1-1 hockey game. Herman all alone walks in, shooting, good save. Harrower in front gets the whistle. Moving down the right wing, walking in, shooting as that one gets stopped. Rebound, another shot, they score. Humphrey gets the goal. Nice little celly there. It is a 7-2 hockey game. The Gorillas versus Team Alberta for the gold medal in the Hockey Grand Prix on Silent Ice TV. My name is Aiden Adam. How's it going, everybody? And there's royalty, or well, Stanley Cup pedigree in the crowd today. There is Craig McTavish. His son, Sean, is the head coach of the Gorillas. On the left side, he'll walk in, strain, holds onto it behind the net, wrap around, shooting off the post, he scores! If you want a champion, there it is, a massive win over the Gorillas.